The Film Crickets are intended for mature audiences. Any guests on The Film Crickets do not necessarily share the same opinions as The Film Crickets.
Film Crickets, chirping about movies.
It's time for The Film Crickets with Jay Fortier, Chris Martineau, and Melanie Howerton. On this week's episode, after years in the making, Isaiah Moskowitz finally has his film cricket debut.
Holy shit, man, you got to get on that.
Jay, Chris, Melanie, and Isaiah review the 1988 American Christmas fantasy comedy film, Scrooged.
Does it stand the test of time? Let's find out. Your film crickets are on now.
His episode was so memorable.
Yes.
That Steve made this one his debut.
Wow. Jesus. I was just getting warmed up. That was practice. This is the debut.
This is the real deal. That was the cold grand opening. This is the hot grand opening. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That Office Space episode, he's trying to forget it. No.
Yeah. Yes, right. It's one of those moments. Oh, so now I go moments. From Office Space to fucking Scrooge. Really? Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think we're going to all be like, you know, this will be a fun episode to talk about because, well, let's just say that both Isaiah and I have already agreed.
I wouldn't say agreed. Began. We had a text exchange and I just said, that movie, wow. And I left it there.
Scrooged?
But wow can go either way, Chris.
Okay.
Right? I just said wow, and then I followed up with Oscar nomination.
Oh.
And it's a whole thing. So,
okay.
Wow. It was nominated for an Oscar.
No, you know what, though?
What, makeup?
I am going to, yeah, hair and makeup. Yeah, right. You nailed it. Today, I'm going to surprise some people because normally I'm not this way, but I am joining the dark side on this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right,
I'm on your side, Chris.
Okay, yeah. I guess we're tipping our hands a little bit. I just never saw what the big deal was then, and I still don't see what the big deal is. I don't know why they keep airing the movie. I don't think it's anyway. Let's not look, guys. Isaiah, I'm glad you're back. What's
Thank
happening,
you.
Everybody?
I
want to talk about this movie. Because again, I had some time to digest it. And as we have all gotten older, I think we have all seen every permutation of the Christmas Carol. Am I wrong? Like, we've seen cartoons.
There's like 80. Right. There's like 80 something.
Right. Cartoons, right. So puppets, fucking claymation. what's the one? What's the Japanese one with the shadow puppets? Like, I can't think of it, but we've seen every permutation as a nation, as a culture on a Christmas Carol. And it's tough because when you go into it, it's like, here's another new take on the same thing we've seen. It's like when you see people like repurpose Cinderella. We're going to look at Cinderella a different way now. And I'm not besmirching any of that because I don't have a movie that remakes all these things. But how are we going to come at it this time? And this is one that is the 80s, but I guess we're really trying to like push the boundaries or push the envelope of what a Christmas Carol could be. So, hey, let's get into it. Isaiah, I'm glad you're here. Let's go around. So, hey, look, let's do this. You know,
for
usually I go,
time.
Yeah, for the first time.
Yeah, thank
second,
oh,
second grand
never
opening.
Never met you before. Oh, God, thank you for having me.
Thank you, grand opening. let's do it this way. If you saw this movie in the theater, let me know. If you saw this movie a lot, let me know. And then can you give me your favorite Christmas Carol movie? The version that you like the most. So I'll start with Jason.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I saw it in the theater. I've seen it like, you know, a decent amount of times over the years. This was not a yearly thing. And that's why I've said that it, like, you know, I've kind of gone on the other side now because I was never always watching it with maybe these specific eyes. And maybe I was enjoying aspects that I remembered liking a lot. And I still like some of those things. Mm-hmm. But so I had some issues the other day or last week. And so, yeah, we'll leave it at that. I've seen it, you know, I liked it a lot many of the years. But then, like I said, just, you know, I'm not seeing it now. So,
okay,
we'll go from there.
Favorite Christmas Carol movie?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. This might surprise some people. I like the one with Albert Finney.
Sure.
It was the musical called Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's famous for that thank you very much song.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And that's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me.
And what's great about that scene, if I may say, is he's singing that. He's singing thank you very much. That's the nicest thing you've ever done for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when Scrooge is dead. And they're doing a parade down the street, and he's on the casket doing like a shimmy.
And if I had a cannon, I would fire it. Joanna's a celebration touch.
It's mm-hmm. fucking beautiful.
That's good stuff.
And Alec Guinness is in that. Guinness plays the Bob Marley. So
was that black and white?
Jacob Marley.
No. I say Bob Marley?
Yeah,
hey, he's playing Bob Marley. All right, cool. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Isaiah, tell me what your deal is with this.
All right, so I did not see it in the movies.
Okay.
Maybe I saw it twice.
Okay.
The first time, and I thought it sucked then. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it for this episode, and Jesus God, it sucks bad. It's just so bad. It's just such a shitty movie. I mean, okay. I love Bill Murray. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
I'm trying to a couple of things because I watched it with my wife, and she's like, "All right, hold on. This is 1988. Let's think about this. You know, you can't be like trying to compare this to, you know, something that's coming out now that's got all the CGI, all the bullshit." But oh my God, like it's so bad. And my favorite Christmas Carol, The Flintstones. Okay,
sure.
that's how much I give a shit about the actual story.
Okay? All right. Mm-hmm.
But The Flintstones was good. If you remember that, The Flintstones, it was funny. I actually watched that afterwards and went, "Oh, that's so much better."
Okay, cool. Melanie, I got a good starting off point now, so thank you for letting me know. Melanie,
I gave you a jumping off point. Sorry.
Yeah, what you got? What's your history with this?
Okay, I never saw it in the movies. I don't own it. I have not even shown it to my kids, which says a lot because I always show them anything that I think is like really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never showed in this movie. However, saying that, I would think I loved the whole beginning of it. I thought that was super funny. Like in the whole office, that was like my favorite part. And I love the boss's makeup. I like the entire beginning. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'm pretty sure the Scrooge that I like was black and white, and I can't remember which one it was.
That would be Alistair Sim.
Maybe that's
it. That's that one.
That's the one where he goes, "I'm as happy as a schoolboy. I'm as light as a feather." That one at the end.
I remember it was like scary, but then I do remember the song that Jay's singing, so it was confusing.
Well, conflating those,
and
yeah.
I want to say the Muppets.
Yes! Come on!
I'm gonna concur with Melanie on the Muppets as my favorite Christmas Carol.
Yeah,
but before we get out of this today, I want to recommend another version of the Christmas Carol to you, and it kind of dovetails into what we're talking about with the Scrooged.
Can I ask? Are you recommending that one where his gravestone is being peed on?
Yes.
No, it's good.
The best. It's the best.
No.
Anyway,
you know why I didn't see it, but it doesn't sound very good because
it's dark as fuck.
He's not even redeemed at the end.
No, he's not, and that's why I like it. More on that later. He's not redeemed. More on that later. So
AF stands for dark as fuck.
Yeah, it's true. But anyway, I never saw this in the theater, and I think I may have, and I might be making up a memory here, but I may have tried to watch this over a friend's house and fell asleep. Because I don't remember ever sitting through this movie.
It drags, man.
Yeah,
drags.
And I don't
it
remember drags. Ever sitting through it, and I remember the end scene. And I remember the beginning and the middle, I don't remember. And every now and then it's on TV and I'll turn it on because we're going through the cycle of Elf to Christmas Story to Scrooge to Christmas Story to Scrooge.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they put in Scrooge in that canon. I don't get it. But, you know, there's a couple of things that I think are kind of scary. And then I finally sat through it and did watch the whole thing and was underwhelmed. So
I like that, Melanie. You say you like the beginning because I will say the end. Uh-huh. I liked. There's
I
a
do
lot
too.
Of improv.
I do
there's
like
a lot
the
of
end.
Im-
yeah.
Well, because it is a true good feeling. Like there's no way. Like I just thought, like to your point, good intro set the scene for this Hollywood executive who's a fucking dick. That's the whole point. And then it just the middle is just like kill me in my sleep.
Yep.
And then you get to the end though.
And
it is he is so good.
Yeah.
And if you look it up, and one of the questions is how much improv did Bill Murray do? And the director's like, "What are you fucking kidding? It's Bill Murray. Let the guy go." And and the end is so good. And the little boy that does the thing that has never said a word. It's like, come on. I'm like, I'm not going to say I cried. You were crying. I wasn't crying.
No.
But
I almost cried.
Like, oh, but I'm like, I've been sitting here trying to love this movie for this show and all the things. And at the end, I'm like, this is actually nice. I'm like, oh, this is so bad. I have to mention this on the show.
Yeah. But I love the beginning. It's really awesome. And it's really cute. But the beginning is one of my favorite parts.
Well, this is why Chris took a nap in the middle, because the beginning was good, the end was good, and the middle you can go on a road trip.
Here's the thing, man. Like, with this movie, at the end, the emotion that he puts at the end, I was into. And the fact that he actually drew tears, I was into. And the fact that the energy he was bringing to that improvisation was almost angry that he wasted all that time.
Yeah.
Like, he seemed like, it seemed genuine that, like, that's the stuff, that's the voice of regret.
Right.
Like, to me, I think he encapsulated regret. And that if he was yelling at himself when he was telling the rest of the world, you know, don't take advantage, you know, it's supposed to be a time to welcome everyone in and all that stuff. And he realizes that regret. And at the beginning, we're setting up how much of a colossal jackass he is.
Asshat.
And, a complete asshat. And my problem with the movie is, and what sets it apart from it, I'm not going to talk about the dark one that Jay was talking about.
DAF.
The darkest fuck one. But everybody, all other Christmas carols, we set up Ebenezer Scrooge as a terrible person at the beginning. And we understand why we hate him. But then as we go through his life and through his reflections of the past, the present, and the future, in those times, we're seeing his redeeming moments. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that he's not. We're seeing the motivations of why he makes the decisions that he does, or his personality. You know, maybe he's just, that's his nugget. He's selfish or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, we're seeing in those reflections that he was a nice guy at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going through his redemption, we're getting on Scrooge's side. I think it's impertinent. It's so important to the story that at some point we get on Scrooge's side. By the end,
mm-hmm.
this movie, the moment he does something nice, he does something assholeish, so you never get on his side. He's an asshole to Karen Allen when he shouldn't be, in the past and now. And
Lois,
now.
Lois Lane.
No, it's, no, it's the girl Karen from, Allen. It's the girl from...
fucking played Lois Lane in Superman.
No.
That's not...
She played in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
Shit, I was the whole time I'm yelling, like, Lois Lane! Oh my God, she's... Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Margot Kidder. Was from...
All right, shit, Indiana Jones. I gotta watch that movie. next episode. Anyway,
we should watch those. We haven't done any of those.
Oh, that's too perfect. They're too perfect.
We what have are you gonna to.
Say? Is the last one good?
It's okay.
I don't
it's
remember.
Fine. Not perfect. I remember that.
Sean Connery was in that one.
No. That's too removed. Dial of Destiny.
The most recent one.
Sean Connery was in one of those.
Yeah, it's in the third one, not the fifth one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, bottom line. Look.
You're making a good point. He's an asshole, but he keeps doing things wrong. So the end is so good because, and listen, when we go through all the things, he was a nice guy. And you do kind of, dude, the story came out when did Charles Dickens write this fucking thing? Like
19th
1800s,
century. Yeah.
Right? Or some shit?
Yeah.
Like 1840 some shit? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the story of how somebody who's miserable, there's a reason why you're miserable, okay? Sure. Something happened to you.
Yeah.
Well, and you go back.
Liking him, I think, because dad, like the whole dad situation, the mother situation.
There's no, you don't become it. I mean, you're not born a dick. Something happens to you that makes you struggle. And it, look, the story itself is timeless.
Yeah.
And it fits in every single generation. Mm-hmm. Just the way they did it in this movie was a little, you know, I kind of want to hear the DAF one when someone pisses on a grave.
What? Oh, it's great. But no, look, but my point is that, like, even when he's in the present, all I can think of was when he was in the present and he saw the frozen homeless person in the sewer.
Yep.
And he is completely unrepentant for the corpse that's sitting in front of him. Now, he is not responsible for this. Well, sort of, but not really. Is he responsible for that person freezing to death?
Mm.
Not kind of. Not,
he's
no.
responsible for Bobcat Goldthwait going out of his fucking mind.
I know.
Shotgun.
With the shotgun, yeah. So
walking into the fucking room, you leave him on, which was fucking great.
Yeah.
But my point is that by the present, we're seeing at that point we need to be on his side in the real world, and we're not. He's still acting like an ass.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to the future, he's at Christmas future. It's hard for me to be on his side. But again, the payoff is really good at the end. So maybe that was the goal. Yeah, maybe we're setting up the very end. I don't know. But
we've kind of already, like, we're jumping from the front to the back to the front.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. Like, if you see it, everybody knows the chronological order of A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. Right. So whether you've seen this version or not, you get it. You know, like, this is pretty much the same aspect, you know, as far as the format. I had a problem. So since we're in the future, going through the Christmas, I had a problem with the fact that Claire became evil in like about less than a year to the point where she's now a ritzy person going, oh God, look at this.
How dare you, Mumsy?
You know, like, you know, it was just like, oh, somebody told me a year ago to blow them off or brush them off. And I'm like, wait a minute. She's been like the savior of the poor since like the dawn of time.
Right.
An asshole, Bill Murray, who was an asshole to her 20 years ago, is now an asshole again. And then she's going to go, you know, he's right. Yeah. He's absolute. Right. And now I'm going to change
every... You make a good point.
Yeah.
Like,
so suddenly her transition to being... evil. And by the way, you know, I don't know what lucrative investments she had that she goes from social worker to
rich
person. I mean, nothing against social workers, but
that could be a side story. How did she go? Who did she kill or who did she marry?
Who did she kill?
And, you know, no, she went and she married somebody who's 98, who's a bazillionaire, slit his throat in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, she's Mumsy.
She has to kill the person to be rich. She can't just live with the person.
No. She waits until he passes away. Okay. It's like Trading Places. It's like that.
No, but
that's
she's even dressing the part. Like, she's full on ritzy. Like, she's got the hat. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the big brimmed hat.
Cake on makeup, like, really bad.
You've gone from a social worker to you're a total fucking rich muff. Like, what? Stop.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's kind of a bit much.
So
you
like
know what's weird movies. Too? I always like whenever we watch anything, I take notes on my phone, and I always have a shit ton of notes that I make.
Mm-hmm.
The only notes I had was I really love the beginning; it's just perfect in every way, and I love the boss's makeup. And then I was looking, and then I was like, next movie, because we watched this a while ago.
Wow.
So then I was like, next movie. There was nothing else. I didn't write anything else down.
Right. It was hard. So it was hard to do. It was hard to do.
The Jacob Marley guy. You talk about the Jacob Marley guy.
Yeah.
No, John I'm talking Forsythe. About like
the office scene.
Yeah, and the office scene.
Setting the scene.
You know, I'm just saying, yeah, I love the entire beginning, and I love that the whole part. But
you're talking about the like horror looking guy, you know, like that came in.
Yeah, I like his old boss's makeup. Yeah,
and that as was, like, great as that was,
they did such a good job with that makeup. And so I'm like writing down like I love the makeup and I love the whole beginning, and then I didn't write nothing else for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
As great as that was, my daughter, who does not like horror movies, was like mortified. Like, she was grossed out by the mouse popping out of the back of the skull.
But that means it worked.
Oh, but hold on. My whole thing was, I didn't think it was necessary for this type of like comedy movie. Like, you could pull off like things like that without like watching his arm, like all the tendons, like, you know, breaking off. I'm like, this is a PG-13 comedy with Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that necessary.
Well, no, I don't know. I think you're showing off your special effects.
Well, hold on. You're the diehard of diehardest diehard horror fans that loves it more than everyone in this circle here combined.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love also special effects. I have a thing. That's one of my hugest pet peeves when I'm watching a movie. It can be the greatest movie, and I'm like, special effects suck. I just don't like this movie. I can't watch it. It's so bad.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, I think they could have pulled it off without that. Like, it almost became, like, a little too grim. Like,
what you're saying that sucks about it is what got them an Oscar nomination. Like, that's crazy. That's how fucked up that is. Because the Oscar nomination in all the things we're saying that are negative is the hair and makeup. So the stuff, Melanie, you're saying, and the things that are, you know, too much for Jay...
Yeah.
Somehow that got them the fucking nomination for an Oscar. It's like, well, the rest of it, they're like, no, this is shit. But what you're doing is good. It's like if you go back to what the hell was the movie? An American Werewolf in London.
Sure.
Remember that movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit! That's one of those movies to this day. Where again, that would be a cool thing to go back and watch because in its time, right? Yeah. Like, I'll tell you one that stands the test of time with me is The fucking Exorcist, okay?
Sure.
I'm 53, yeah, and I still scream like a school kid running because it's fucking scary.
It is.
But this was kind of like, well, maybe in 1988 it had a thing. In 2023, I'm like, this is fucking shit. You know, no. I'm not bashing it because, again, I'm not the one making movies and I don't have that opportunity. But in 1988, that stuff that we watched got them an Oscar nod. That's, you know, and, you know, that's not a bad thing.
But Isaiah, Isaiah, Transformers movies get Oscar nods for sound mix. And those are some of the biggest pieces of shit. I just watched all five of those. Oh, my God.
Everyone sucked, you thought?
Oh, my. Last night is unwatchable.
The first one in all these things is always going to be good, but when they fucking keep going.
Whatever.
I do want to clear up. No, I want to clear up. I'm not offended or grossed out myself, like, by the...
By me?
No, by the special effects.
Sorry.
I was not... It didn't affect me in a majorly negative way. I just sat there and go, well, this wasn't necessary. Like, because I just look at the... I don't think they got that gross, like except for the slime, on Ghostbusters. They still told a comedy story that dealt with darkness.
Is that a Bill Murray movie that was good?
Yeah.
Huh. No shit.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is they could still...
I called him Bill Murphy the other day when we were doing a podcast. I listened to it and I called him Bill Murphy.
Whoops.
Yeah.
He would appreciate that. So, Eddie Murphy, Bill Murray combined had a kid, and it's Bill Murphy.
Right.
I can't wait for Axel Foley 2024.
Yeah.
Now, are we doing the IMDb?
I just said, like, I like the special effects, but that wasn't just why I like the beginning. I like the story in the beginning of how they're setting it up, of how much of a dick he is.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I love his Scrooge promo
stuff. Yeah. So
funny. He's definitely a fucking asshole, and there's no question about it. Back to Chris's point, you wonder why I fall asleep, because I just think it detached and you lose the thing. And it's like, I don't know how deep Bill was involved in, like, because his improv is so fucking good. And this is a guy that did Stripes and Caddyshack and things that are just like,
I think, and you go, I think it has a problem with tone.
Okay.
I think it did not choose the tone properly. I think that probably if you actually had an actor, I'm not taking anything from Bill Murray because I'm not Bill Murray. I'm not a movie star. So whatever. And obviously he's good at improv. Yeah. But if you actually had an actor that followed the script that was written, then maybe the tone would be a little more clear. The tone is all over the place. Is it funny? Is it scary? Is it a drama? Is it a drama? Like,
that's,
it's all over the map. So it's very difficult to hang on to any one character and care about their characterization of what
their
story. It's very hard to get on that.
Well, you talk about movies like Caddyshack, and you talk about movies like Stripes, where you can fuck around.
Yeah.
These are meant to be, like, you're not grabbing a Charles Dickens classic when you do Caddyshack.
Yeah.
You're making shit up, right?
And
you've
got
Ted Knight, and you've got this one and that one, and you can, and you're, that's actually a very interesting observation, that if you were to focus a little bit more.
Yeah.
And decide what lane you're going to go down.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better.
I also think
information on that, though, and it's not Bill Murray's fault. He hated the movie.
Oh, great.
Really? Okay.
So, yeah. And I will tell you, I have a little bit on it, but he hated it. And I'll tell you a little bit more later.
Production or hated doing it or both?
He thought, I'll tell you later on, because I don't have that much, so I'll tell you later.
I think the problem with Bill Murray is that while he's very good at improv, he is kind of always doing the, again, I'm not talking about modern Bill Murray. I'm not talking Lost in Translation. I'm not talking about, you know, the one where he's Jacques Cousteau, or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like this era Bill Murray.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of, you can improv well and it's funny, but it's also kind of lazy. You're not preparing at all. You're just going to go in and be you, which I think is kind of insulting to the people that prepare. You know, Ghostbusters, you showed up like 2 days before the shoot started, and they weren't sure if he was going to show up. Like,
Caddyshack, if you look at the behind the scenes, that thing was a coke fest.
Oh,
it
sure.
It was a fucking mess.
Right. So,
but it's crazy. It's like some of the best rock bands, and I don't promote anything in the sense of, but if if fucking Guns N' Roses was good, because they're all on fucking heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a weird thing to say. So don't take that the wrong way. But it's like, if you're all fucked up, and if Bill Murray comes into a room and just plays improv, like the fact that he did Lost in Translation, I would like to think that he prepared a little more for that in 2003 than he did absolutely fucking coked out of his head when he did Caddyshack. Now, how do you and finally later in his career, you know, Lost in Translation is a lot different than fucking Caddyshack, right?
Of course it is. That's my point, because he may be prepared or maybe he knew that
he
couldn't sell that persona anymore.
People get tired.
I hated his role in Caddyshack.
Well, really? You didn't like Caddyshack.
I hated Caddyshack, and I hated his role in Caddyshack.
Wow, we just broke up, Molly. I thought we had a thing, and you and I
don't think Caddyshack's that great.
His freaking character in Caddyshack. I'm sorry, everyone's gonna hate me, but I freaking hated it. It was just a little bit too much. It was just a little bit too much. It was just.
You know what though?
Me? Have you ever rolled up a joint and just fucking sat back and chilled the fuck out?
I think I maybe should have done that before I watched that movie.
You know what though?
No, she didn't grow up
with it. I would have liked it just a little bit if I did that first.
Watching Wall. It's like watching Pink Floyd The Wall. Who the fuck watches that sober? Drop a hit of fucking acid and go. For the ride.
Okay.
Oh my God.
No, you know what?
I digress.
And I love Bill Murray. You know what? I love him.
She didn't grow up with Caddyshack, and that's a big deal.
True.
So if you don't grow up with a movie like that, it's really out of left field and very dated and very like old looking and like.
Your kids, Melanie.
Just the way he was talking and that stupid gopher. I mean,
how old are your kids, Melanie?
Stupid movie. What?
How old are your kids?
They're 18 and 19.
Right. So, like, for them to watch Scrooge or Caddyshack, they'd be like, this is fucking awful. Because they're again, generational blocks. That's why I thought it was really, you know, when
I think
Jay's
back
like,
in the day, that was a huge movie because of the things that they said and did. It was groundbreaking.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. And it was kind of on the edge. But nowadays, it's like, eh.
Now we have TikTok and everyone's just fucking doing the most ridiculous shit. Yeah. And it's like, you can't, there's no more shock jocks on radio, right?
Yeah.
Howard Stern did it. There's no more. Nobody is miffed by a goddamn thing that anybody, everyone's like, seen it. We're good.
Yeah.
But Caddyshack has a whole lot of nothing going on.
How dare you?
We're forgetting, you know, generational gaps. Nothing stands up like a cameo by Mary Lou Retton. Nothing stands up like that.
Oh my God, you're right.
Mary Lou Retton.
Wow, dude, you just pinned that one as like, here we go.
Oh my God. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have a gold medal in the Olympics, but I don't think anybody cares in 89. It was only 5 years later. Like, I mean, the fact that she's on there is a goof. They're kind of making the fun of the fact that
she's short.
Yeah. And
she's also
kind of
short. Like, you know, and she had a very young face. So it, like her doing as Tiny Tim is kind of funny.
But oh my
God. 1988 funny. Like so this whole thing is a modern quote unquote telling of Scrooge, but modern 1988 telling. So there's you know,
has there been anything? So I looked at Google. So there's 135 like, different versions of A Christmas Carol, right? 135.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yep, so like you would have to make it a mission to see them all. You would actually have to make a big effort.
What's the most recent one? That's the thing.
Or no? What is it? Is it
that
this?
Is that the best we can do?
The one that I brought up. The one that I brought up.
Jim Carrey.
The most recent one.
The Daff one.
Oh, well, Jim Carrey was in one too. The cartoon.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, what is it?
That was bad.
That was before that. It was still in the 2000s. It was like it was after. What? When Chris is talking about, it's like an FX like miniseries.
Yeah.
Oh.
So good.
That's Scrooge?
Oh boy, is it. Get ready. He's the worst person on ever.
All right, so 2019, the official trailer, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy?
Yeah, if you're going to get into it, I mean, if you're going to do it, but I'm surprised that 19.
Tom Hardy did he say the movie entirely like this. Oh.
Most likely.
I'm Bane. Sorry. I like Tom Hardy.
I remember watching one where somebody peed on someone's grave.
Yeah, that one's great.
All right, can we stop skipping around the fucking graveyard, Chris? And what's this Daff movie? Let's go.
Okay, all right.
All right, let's go.
So look, here's the thing. You either got to make, here's my point. Christmas Carol either needs to be Alistair Sim. It needs to be the one. I'm sorry, Jay. What's the one that you like?
Albert Finney.
Albert Finney, George C. Scott. It's got to be the Muppets. It's got to be something like that.
The Flintstones.
Okay. Flintstones, where it's
Alistair Sim.
It's the classic telling, and we follow him. And by the time he's redeemed, he always had a nugget of good in him. It just needed, and he got screwed as a kid, or whatever, that made him a terrible person. But then he is redeemed at the end. Mm-hmm. The one that I'm talking about is, it was an FX miniseries. It was like two episodes. I think it's about 4 hours long. It's called The Christmas Carol. It's okay. With Guy Pearce as Scrooge.
Hold on.
And Andy Serkis is in it at some point. And it's a retelling. Scrooge is the worst person ever, and you're never on his side.
Okay.
Such that,
like, right to the end?
Right to the end. And they keep doubling down on how bad of a person that he is. And they do the whole ghost thing. But by end of it, the point of the film, and when he does have his...
Or a dick at the end?
Well, no, it's not that. But he's so bad to all these people. And they never let up the gas on how bad he is to everybody. And how terrible he is. That by the end of the movie, when he does have his redemption moment, or he has the Christmas Day moment and all the ghosts are gone, he doesn't jump up and down around. He's relieved, but he goes to the people that he's wronged and he says, "You shouldn't forgive me. I am unforgivable. I am not looking for redemption. I'm just looking to make some things right. You shouldn't like me. I don't deserve it."
Okay.
And to me, it's if you ever saw Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood, the whole point of Unforgiven is he's trying to make right. He's trying to live a good life, even though he's a terrible person before. But at the end of the day, he has the fever dream where he sees himself in hell, and he knows, I am going to hell. I am unforgiven. There's no point in hiding it. I am what I am. And to me, that version of The Christmas Carol, though, it's not for everybody. I fully recognize that. Not for everybody. They are sticking with the dark.
Yeah.
They are saying he's unredeemable. And by the end, you get it. And you don't feel good for him, but you understand that he has come to this choice in his life. And the problem with Scrooge is that it's a mixture of the darkest fuck version and the Muppets.
Yeah.
And it doesn't know where to go in the middle. That's my point I want to get to.
And
it doesn't know what it wants to do. Are we going to double down on dark? Or are we going to see Bill Murray as a hippie? Or are we going to see him, like, you know...
you can't
see Karen
down
Allen
on
with
dark in the middle of a comedy.
What's that?
You shouldn't double down on dark like that in the middle of a comedy.
Right.
It's already designed to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Call it what it is. Pick your lane. Hold on. By the way, I have a wardrobe change.
I see that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Taylor Swift.
Did we staple that to your head? Like, remember the idea when he when he said, "Hey, did you try staples?"
See,
no, that was funny. No, he goes,
I like that.
He goes, like, that was pretty funny because he goes,
that was funny.
Like, hey, I can't seem to glue. By the way, glue is a bad idea too. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to glue these antlers to this mouse.
Oh my god! And it comes up later in the movie.
And but he goes, did you try staples?
Yeah.
It's like I said, I'm putting on this cap of not that type of cap, but watching it with these eyes. Of like sort of going, and I had kind of a weird thing. I was like, can anybody that I'm talking to right now name the president of NBC?
Brandon Tartikoff.
Really?
No, but that was back in the day.
Okay, but right now you can't. Okay,
no.
And chances are none of us know who the fuck the president of NBC is. Now, let's say we're watching a live TV show of Scrooge.
Yeah.
And the president of NBC comes in and says, "Hey, I get it. I was a jerk before." And it's like, and I was like, "Wait,
right?
People are probably just gonna go, who the fuck is this?"
Yeah.
I'm trying to watch the end of Christmas Carol, right? Like the live thing. I waited for the end. Isn't it Christmas Eve? Like, right?
Yeah.
So I stayed home.
What's he doing there?
Right? Yeah. It's like, and I'm supposed like, and they make it like as everybody's like, nah, nah, nah. Like at the end, like sort of bopping around, like,
yeah,
you know, like, you know, like, and I'm not saying it's not cool. Like, you know, like I like those moments where he's crying and stuff like that. Yeah. And I like it when he says the SS Minnow when he's talking.
It's
to
not
his
reality.
Brother.
It's not reality.
Yeah. I'm just like going. I'm going.
If I was watching the show, I wouldn't want to interrupt it at the end. I'd want to see what happened at the end.
Well, like, right, and right. Like I don't know you. I don't. Yeah. I didn't know you were a dick before.
Especially if you're in charge. Like, why would you interrupt? Let this fucking thing happen. Please, God, let the sponsors spend more.
And
money.
By the way, and one other thing, I'm going. Okay, and Elliot Loudermilk, the guy who is Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's not going to jail for holding like 7 people hostage with a shotgun.
Oh, no. Everybody leaves like, this is nice. You brought a shotgun into a fucking studio.
Yeah.
By the way, did anybody pick up, and did you guys ever see the series Loudermilk?
No.
No, I heard about that.
Oh,
you mentioned, you brought that up last time. It was the guy from Office Space.
Yeah, we had not Ron Livingston, but we had the local comedian here in Boston. And I hear Loudermilk in that show, and I'm like, I wish that got picked up for the third season. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. Great show. No. Loudermilk, watch it.
All right.
It's on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, no, like I said, like there's just like moments I'm going, what the hell? I did laugh during when David Johansen, who is playing, who is also known as Buster Point Dexter, but he was David Johansen in this. He was the ghost of Christmas Past. They switched it up. They made it a male instead of a female. Yeah. And they made her the female sadomasochist as the ghost of Christmas Present. That was a little odd. Yeah. But I laughed when he was like, watching like the Frisbee show, which was like the dog show, and he's like excited. He's like, it's the bone! Like, he's like really into it. He's like, yes! You know, and he's not an actor by trade, so that makes it better when somebody like that is doing that much.
Mm-hmm. What would you give this movie 1 out of 10? Like, if you had to say, like, best movie, worst movie, Melanie?
I don't know. That's tough.
You can say 0.
I don't know. I don't want to go that bad. I don't know. Like,
because you like the intro and you like the end.
I don't know. You know, I have a hard time rating things. They all
I'll
know
tell
that.
It. I'll do
1
it.
1 to 10. Hold on. Let Melanie, 1 to 10.
All right.
I don't know. 3 or 4.
Done. Chris?
I'm going to say in good teacher style, good effort, poor execution. I'd give it a 6.
Chris? Jay?
Like 5, 6, something like that. Yeah,
I would say because there were feels, because of the people, because of the concept of what it is. Mm-hmm. I'd say a strong 5. But that's right.
See, I was
that's
gonna
it.
Say 5, and I thought you guys were gonna be like, oh my god. So
no,
I was like,
what
okay.
We say.
No, but it kind of floats in the middle. It's like, and the thing is, when you give something a 5, who the fuck wants a 5, right? It's like you're Melba Toast, right? You're out.
You're Melba Toast.
Melba Toast, right? You're fucking.
Oh my god!
But that's it. It's like, you know, you got nominated. You have the right people. You're picking a story which is classic, but you didn't. To Chris's point, you didn't do something with it. Yeah. You had a chance to do something with it, and you fucking banged around like a fucking ADD patient.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie, are you yawning? Are we boring you, Melanie?
I'm sorry. I'm like, once I start yawning, I literally cannot stop.
Can you show us your Christmas trees? Show us your Christmas tree.
Yeah. But my point.
Hold on. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry
Speaking
Christmas.
Speaking of ADD, what is happening?
I'm trying to like make the movie not be a fucking 3. That's what I'm trying to do.
It's amazing if you have somebody that, if you have dialogue-driven script, can do a lot, and you don't let the star run the show. So I don't know. I don't know. That's it.
You know,
so
I want to say, I did think it was funny when the boss was talking to him. Wait, I just want to say, I think it was funny when the boss was talking to him about like how we need to bring more animals in.
right.
That was kind of funny.
Like TV and all that. I thought that was kind
of
funny.
It had its moments. It really did have things.
I really like the part where he thinks that that new guy that's coming on, like that's coming around. I like how he thinks he's like in on it, and he goes ha ha ha, right in the middle of a freaking like restaurant. Like it's like the most like out there disturbing sound, like that, like people don't want to hear. Like it's a really great laugh.
But it was also funny how that lady saw the mistletoe above him and he was all like tied up. He right? was like helpless when she went after him.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He was tied, and she jumps on him while Goldthwait is doing his shit.
Yeah.
Any of that today, you'd be canceled and in jail forever.
Yeah, pretty much. 100%.
Oh, by the way, real quick, I'm very happy I was like, holy shit, I think that's the same guy. So his boss that, you know, the guy that's like on the phone going, it's me who's paying your damn salary, you son of a bitch. Like,
yeah.
That guy, I can't think of his actual name.
The one that said he wanted animals on the show?
Yes, that guy.
Yeah. All right.
He is the narrator for Tombstone at the beginning and the end.
Oh, God. All right, let's hit TMI.
It's time for TMI with Melanie.
Listen to this. I am in the bathroom right before the movie starts.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the stall, and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Mine are at home in a display case above my bed.
Yeah. TMI, my friends.
TMI, too much information.
They say don't go there, but that's lame.
Now, here's Melanie with your timeless movie info.
Okay, I'm just going to start. All right. Budget was $33 million. Gross was 100.3. So that was a lot. This was Bill Murray's first starring role since Ghostbusters in 1984. He had been living in Paris and had seriously considered giving up acting altogether. Filming began in December 87 with Christmas approaching. Director Richard Donner asked if the production could have Christmas Day off, but Paramount Pictures refused. Richard came up with a plan at the end of the day on December 24th. Richard fired the entire cast and the crew to give them time off. 2 days later, he rehired everybody. Bill Murray and director Richard Donner reportedly did not enjoy working together at all, creating a lot of tension on the set. When asked by film critic Richard Ebert if he had any disagreements with Donner, Murphy replied, "Only a few, every single minute of the day."
Oh.
He said a lot of the footage ended up on the cutting room floor. We shot a big, long, sloppy movie, so there's a great deal of material that didn't even end up on the film. He said it could have been a really, really great movie. The script was really good. There's maybe one take in the final cut of the movie that is mine. Only one take in the movie that's mine. He said we did it so fast, it was like doing a movie live. He kept telling me to do things louder and louder because I felt like he was deaf. Movie critic Roger Ebert said that this was the worst film adaptation of The Christmas Carol he had ever seen.
Wow.
And then, let's see. Bill Murray ad-libbed most of his lines. In a 1988 interview with Richard Donner, he discussed Murray's natural ability to improvise and described the experience of directing Murray as follows. It's like standing on 42nd Street in Broadway, and the lights are out, and you're the traffic cop. So,
Jesus Christ.
Great experience, guys.
When the Ghost of Christmas Present, Carol Kane, grabbed Bill Murray's lip, she tore it so badly that the filming was halted for several days. Bill Murray falling.
But I heard he kind of like basically encouraged this and then.
Are you serious?
It grab my lip and rip it off. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bill Murray falling on his way out of the restaurant was unscripted and genuine. It was an accident. You can tell by the reaction of the actors playing the waiter and Murray's feet as he falls. Apparently, it was due to the stairs being so wet after splashing the waiter with the water that caused him to lose his footing. All of Bill Murray's acting brothers, John Murray, Joel Murray, and Brian Doyle Murray, appeared in this movie.
Awesome.
John's the only one that played on his on-screen brother. Joel plays one of the guests at John's party, while Brian plays Bill's on-screen father. Frank trying to get the audience in the movie theater to participate at the end was entirely ad-libbed by Bill Murray. Seeing you guys said you liked the end of it, that was Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
Okay, let's see. Preston, and he said there was like one thing in this movie that was mine, he said. Preston tells Frank that in America, there are 27 million cats, 48 million dogs, and then says quite seriously that IBC needs to start gearing programming towards them. As of 2015, there are several dog and cat specific channels on Roku that supply dedicated pet programming based on scientific studies of what interests them.
Wow.
The Ghost of Christmas Past cab that belongs to Bell Cab Company It's referred to, basically, Belle is the name of Scrooge's first love in the Charles Dickens novel, which the story is loosely taken. Playing the Scroogettes were the Solid Gold Dancers, whose American television show had been canceled by the time this movie came out. I used to watch that when I was little.
Me too.
I thought I'd be jumping on my bed into the Solid Gold Dancers.
Right?
Because I have this, like this champagne-colored, like, silk comforter. It kind of looked gold. And,
sure.
You know, nice. I just remember that. It was just, I was really little. Let's see. The excitement over VCR as a Christmas present may seem odd today, but when the film was released, a typical VCR cost from $500 to $1,500. In 2022 money, that's about $1,000
to $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Yeah. Hold on. And mic drop.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's it.
A lot of knowledge right there.
Cool. Yeah, I told you, it was a hot mess. It was a hot mess, and you could tell it was a hot mess.
I did laugh. I did laugh when he's like, come on, girls, like, and the girls are like dancing, like a freaking, their butts are showing. And it was like, this would never be on 1988, not like that.
No.
Like,
and then they were like, you can see her nipple.
Yeah. And they're like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That was Alan
too. I want to watch I want to watch the Daff version that fucking Chris brought up. I really do.
Oh, you should get ready.
I remember
It's on Hulu. It's on
Is
Hulu.
It? Okay. Yeah. All right. So no, it's 19.
One of the holiday movies, Hulu.
I honestly think that Scrooge should always be, I mean, besides the Muppets, which I loved, but, and I did like the Flintstones too.
Thank you.
But I feel like Scrooge should almost be like the black and white one. I feel like it should be super creepy and spooky.
It's a weird story. It's a total ghost story. It's somebody who's, like, there's a lot, if you really look at the writing, and I'm sure Charles Dickens, you know, had it this way, but, like, you're dealing with somebody who's not right.
Yeah.
And they're not right for a reason, though. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Again, to what I was saying earlier, they're not right for a reason, and now they're doing certain shit.
Yeah.
So you've done a bunch of shit. How do you then have people come back? And it's almost like, the fucking guy's blessed that people come back and remind him, because most people that are just fucking Karens and assholes and whatever the fucks just go through their life doing stupid shit, right? Mm-hmm. At least you had a chance.
Yeah.
And someone said, stop it. Come here. Let's show you back to here. It's almost how we all need to do our lives, right? Like if something's going on in your life where you're lashing out or whatever's happening, right? Who's going to stop you? Hopefully your partner, your friend, your kid, your whatever, and pulls you back and says, hey, look, it's okay. You were good here. Try doing that here. Because right here, you fucking suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I got a question.
It's basically like you're making everybody miserable and you're going to die alone and no one's going to care unless you change your ways.
Well, right. And somebody gives a fuck about you to actually say that. And before you get to the point where you're fucking alone, listen to the people that are saying I love you and look I understand why you're upset, but just stop and back it up a bit, take a breath. I'm sorry, Jay, what were you gonna say?
No, I'm just like, you're making this really serious good point, and then this bubble with a thumbs up appeared right in the middle of your fucking screen.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
I can't figure out. I've done this on a couple of these fucking Zoom, whatever the fuck we're on, where I say something and balloons go up.
Yeah.
No, I'm in the middle of a client meeting the other day, which is awesome. And I said something and balloons go up. I'm like, was that my closing argument?
Dude, like, it was the weirdest thing. It was like, I was like, both of your hands were moving when that happened. And
I
this bubble shows up.
I can't
up.
Replicate it though either. It's like, I try to go back and do it.
Well, it was so distracting because I was like, I lost what the fuck he was talking about, because I want to know how this bubble appeared out of nowhere. Because
it has happened the last three times that I have done
these. What were you doing?
Trust me, Nelly, I try to recreate. Now I just look crazy doing this.
Final judgment. Here we go, maybe. And it's not playing.
It's time now for Final Judgment. Are you ready to rubber stamp this bitch? Here's the Final Judgment.
right, it's time for final judgment, and this movie is going to receive its final judgment. Mm-hmm. You'll never be able to see it again, folks, once we're done with it.
They're going to delete this off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the fans of this show, of this movie, are going to fucking eat us for breakfast.
Oh, man. I can't believe those 26 people are going to not listen to us anymore. So,
23. Every time you bail out, two people leave.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead. No, it doesn't hold up. Forgetting about that, it's not very well done, which we've already said. I don't think it holds up. I think it has too many bizarre 80s references in it. I see Mary Lou Retton, see the Solid Gold Dancers, see Buddy Hackett, see John Houseman, Bobcat Goldthwait, John Houseman. Like, no one gives a shit about these people anymore, and they shouldn't. You know, sometimes you put the dog out to pasture, and it's okay. The other part that I want to say is, again, it doesn't hold because nobody said that Christmas Carol has to be a kid's movie. Not every holiday movie is a kid movie, and I'm not talking about the darkest fuck Christmas Carol. I'm not talking about that. It doesn't have to be a kid's movie. But the fact of the matter is, I don't care about language, obviously, but they call that woman a bitch like four times. That just doesn't really, it's kind of unnecessary. The goddamn it scene is, call her a bitch. Like, I don't even remember. The word bitch is said like four or five times.
No, I didn't know what woman.
I don't remember, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know, but.
There it is again. The bubble.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
there
the
it
bubble's
is.
Up. Yeah, the bubble came up.
Can you?
So anyhow, again.
Do shit.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry, Chris.
No, it's all right. So, like I said, I don't care about language, but it just seems like that sort of thing just doesn't happen that much unless you're talking about a movie with a horrible character in it. We're not supposed to think, you know, we're supposed to think Bill Murray is horrible but likable at the same time. It's bizarre. So no, it doesn't hold up. And I don't know. They put it in heavy rotation. I haven't seen Christmas Story once in rotation on the old sling this year, but Scrooge has been on
every 10 fucking minutes.
I haven't seen it.
This really? Is
Polar Express. It's been, again, I have sling and I don't have cable, but I don't know. So no, don't hold up. Melanie?
I'll say again that I like the beginning of it. I like the end of it. I like the beginning more. I think it was kind of like really, I don't know, long drawn out in the middle. Where you were kind of looking at your clock, you know, thinking, hey, how much left do I have of this? Because I really want to go to bed.
This is when Chris was taking a nap.
Yeah.
I didn't take a nap this time.
But no,
rightfully so.
I do have to say that I did enjoy it. I mean, it's not like I hated the movie. I enjoyed it enough to watch all of it. And it doesn't hold up, obviously, but I don't hate it. You know what I mean? I don't literally hate the movie.
Yeah, I think I want to side with you on that. It doesn't make me pissed off to watch
it. Right, exactly.
It doesn't make you, this fucking scene. Like, nothing like that happens. It's just such a non-entity for me. Like, I can't even react to it because it's just a hot mess. It's a disaster. Right. It's not like I've seen movies where I get pissed off that I'm watching it. I'm not pissed off watching it. I just don't want to watch it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, okay, Isaiah, go ahead.
This does not stand out. It doesn't. I love Bill Murray. I'm recognizing and I'm being very appreciative of the time frame, you know, where we were in 1988. To Melanie's point, you know, the beginning, not necessarily for me, the end was good, but that's not why I watch a movie, right? I watch a movie because I want to be involved in the story. The story itself from, you know, 1843, when Charles Dickens wrote this story, is a great story. So you can't really fuck up that, but you can. And this movie showed that you can fuck that up because I just don't think it's good. And I think to Chris's point, and I appreciate this as we did this show, you've got a person who's so improv, right? You've got a person who's been able to do all the things he's been able to do. It should have been more focused. It should have been more focused on the classic and then, you know, find its swim lane. I don't think it stands the test of time. It proved to me the other night when I watched it, I'm like, and again, I'm not judging a 1988 film. I'm an 18-year-old kid at that point.
Yeah.
And things have changed, but it just, it doesn't do it. you know, things like Lost in Translation, for example, Bill Murray, mm-hmm. that's a great movie. Like you said, Melanie, you said 1984 was the last time we did a movie, right? So you're talking a 4-year gap, right? That's a 4-year gap from a very popular actor. Mm-hmm. That's a bunch.
He did The Razor's Edge in between. That was his drama that he tried.
Okay.
The Razor's Edge.
But that's a thing.
Yeah, he said first starring role since Ghostbusters, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But that's, and again, I'm trying not to be super critical of a performance, but it just does not, in my opinion, it doesn't stand the test of time. And if you're going to watch a movie or if you're going to learn about A Christmas Carol, like an 1800s fucking story, mm-hmm. there's so many other ways to do it. Go see a play. There was a play in my local town at a museum that does it such justice, right? The mm-hmm. true meaning of Christmas, the purpose for the story is that somebody's going through whatever, and then they find that moment, right? And then that's the Christmas story. I love the end. Man, I was bored as fuck.
Mm-hmm. But he sure. even said that. This was one long, sloppy movie. That's what he said.
And it is.
And who said that? Who said that, Bill?
Bill Murray said that.
That's the fucking star of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said it was one huge, long, sloppy movie. Yeah.
Right, not to long-winded. It does not stand the test of time.
Okay. Yeah. Jerry?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't hold up. I think we've all kind of we way beyond tipped our hand when it came time for before the end. It's like, wow, no kidding. They didn't think it held up. I couldn't have told by the way they talked about it throughout the entire film, through the entire episode. But you know, thinking about Bill Murray though, only what? How many years later was it 93 that he did Groundhog Day? Was that 93? Maybe.
Oh no, 94.
Okay. All right. So
that
even
movie
even earlier.
Awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, it's great. It's great. But he was
such a good movie.
Mega dude.
So good.
Yeah.
During that, he was an ass.
What, making it?
Oh yes. During the process, to the point, where he and Harold Ramis, who directed and was partial writer, rewriter of that movie.
Schitt's Creek is the fucking balls, by the way. Side note.
Love it.
Loving you.
Love it. I cried when that ended.
No, it was good. But what I'm saying is Harold Ramis and Bill Murray were like they did not talk. It ruined their friendship until like right before Harold died. There was like a redemption type of meeting that they got together.
Hopefully they
luckily.
But here's the thing. When you're saying that, Jay, you're saying that they didn't get along the whole time, but that movie was freaking awesome. Maybe he had a great deal to do with
that. So good.
I'm saying that Harold knew how to also
work
fix
with him.
It. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes, there was there
deal
was,
is
like,
bullshit.
He knew which things. You know, he's also had years of experience.
Yeah.
With Bill.
Ghostbusters,
now, like, you know, Harold directed Caddyshack. Okay.
Did he?
Harold. Mm-hmm. Yes. Harold was. Wow. He also knew how to handle Chevy Chase because Harold directed National Lampoon's Vacation.
Cocaine.
No, but hold on. He worked with Bill. No, but like he worked with Bill on Ghostbusters. He worked with you know what I mean, like on part two. Like I'm just saying, like I think he already had an upper hand, sort of. But like it was still hell on earth.
Right.
Yes, it worked out phenomenal. I love that movie. Okay.
Wow. Groundhog Day is good. Phenomenal. That movie's so good.
Okay.
I'm just saying that maybe not every experience needs Bill to come in and just, like, you know, be Bill. Not everything calls for
you
that.
Get
and
away
not everybody's
with it. At
gonna
the
be able to handle.
You get away with it.
Yeah.
You get away with it at the beginning because you can pull it off. You do Animal House. How long can John Belushi do what John Belushi did? Well, he was a fucking mess on drugs too. And at the end, you know, if you were trying to direct this person, it's fucking cute in the 70s, but imagine if John Belushi were around today trying to make a movie. They'd be like,
probably not.
I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe if he was reined in a little bit, like, and still, you know, you can improv without without going so like I know more than you, Richard.
But imagine being that Harold Ramos trying to rein in somebody. Again, it's all, and I can speak to this, maybe you can, but working in the radio business, the egos are where the egos are. We all had our moments of this, but then you get to that level of stardom, Saturday Night Live. Fucking, you know, everybody just, you look at the Taylor Swifts of the world today. You look at the football players. You are put on this fucking pedestal, okay? You do no wrong, and you make millions of dollars. Maybe it wasn't millions then, but you're still an untouchable. You're the person that gets the eyeballs. Mr. Murray, you do whatever the fuck you want. You know,
yeah.
Mr. Whoever, you do whatever the fuck you... Tiger Woods, when he, you know, that whole story about him cheating on his wife, what a piece of shit. But nobody told him he was... You do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the rock star that's making the rest of us money.
Mm-hmm.
And the four of us don't even... I mean, I played a little bit in that realm being on the radio, but I never got caught up in that shit. I just liked to yap. I can't shut the fuck up. I didn't get stuck in. I worked in it for 30 years, but I saw some people where I'm like, oh my God, these fucking psychos really think their shit doesn't stink.
Yeah.
They really, and their agents articulate that, and their fans, all this bullshit. So to try to rein in a Bill Murray in 1980,
No.
Can you imagine?
No, that's no.
The fucking way. Because because what he does or she does at that moment dictates how much money this movie makes. Period. Yeah. End of story.
Sure.
Right. No, I'm saying that, like, I was just more or less saying that he because he's the big star and he's, you know, he had some success.
Right.
If this movie is kind of shitty, let's say he looks at it and doesn't like how it came out, he can go, oh, that thing fucking sucked from the beginning. And like, and it's like, we don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he thought that like throughout the process, but it's easy to see that.
Because it only made $100 million. Like to Melody's point, it was that $300 million project that made a hunch. He might be like, well, this was fucking... That's his excuse to blow it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's easy to do, like, because you're already in that position. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. Maybe it's not the answer is all I'm trying to say. Like, this is maybe just because you're good at that, this doesn't require every aspect to be a fucking improv.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, listen, I'd like to thank Isaiah Moskowitz for being here for the second time.
Yay!
Hey, guys, I truly, truly appreciate this. This has been awesome. I love doing this. I would love to come on anytime and just talk shop about movies. And hold on. Wardrobe change.
Melody's back. And the antlers are back.
I like the antlers.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this for us. And well,
thank you. You guys were awesome. Merry Christmas and all the things.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, take care, everybody.
Thanks. All right.
And I just want to say that movies may not age like fine wine, but we drink it anyway.